Good evening and welcome along to the Score programme, our midweek sports show here in Highland, where we take a closer look at what is happening in local sport across the Northwest. I am Mark Gallagher and I'll be with you from now until 8 o'clock. And as always, we have a busy show lined up. So coming up shortly, Patsy McGonigal will assess Mark English's chances in this evening's Diamond League meet in Rome. Brendan Devaney will be giving us his thoughts on the round 2A and 2B draws in the All-Ireland Senior Football Championship. In soccer, Finn Harps Head of Women's Development, Paddy McDade, will give us the rundown on how the first half of their season has gone. And it is soccer we begin with. The mid-season break means there are no games in the SSC Airtricity League this week, but at the halfway point in the First Division, Finn Harps are in 8th spot with 4 wins from their opening 18 matches. Derry City have a similar record. They sit 6th in the Premier Division with just 4 wins from the 20 matches they've played so far. After an open draw this week, both clubs have been handed home ties in round 2 of the FAI Senior Cup. Harps will welcome Bray Wanderers to Finn Park, and Derry City are at home to Leinster Senior League side Tolka Rovers from Dublin. So to talk all things League of Ireland and that FAI Cup draw, I'm joined now by former Finn Harps captain Joe Boyle. Joe, thanks very much for popping on. How are things?
Good evening. How are you, Mark?
I'm very well. So no football on the pitch this week, Joe. A bit of a respite from the league action. Which of the two clubs, Finn Harps, Derry City, do you think will be more glad of a week's break in the action?
Oh, look, I think all the players have been going now since probably just the days after Christmas. So, you know, we're 6 months in. So I think they'll all enjoy probably a weeks of downtime this week, but they'll be back in, I'm sure, at the weekend, ready to go again for the next round of matches and for the next part of the season, which is going to be very, very important for both clubs. So I think everybody across the League of Ireland and all the players and managers and coaches and referees, I think, will be all glad for this week off. And again, you know, we'll be back next week and with the World Cup and with the League of Ireland, so it'll be a festival of football for the next month for us.
That's it, full steam ahead, sounds good. We'll have a look at those FAI Cup draws then. We'll start with Finn Harps drawn at home to fellow First Division side Bray Wanderers. I would say Kevin McHugh will probably just be glad that it's a home draw first and foremost.
Yeah, when you look at the FAI Cup or any cup draw, I think the first thing every team looks at, can I be first out of the hat and get a home tie? And, you know, for Harps, that's really, really important because, you know, particularly with Bray, Harps have such a strong tradition with the cup, and Kevin himself, being a cup winner, will have a really good memories of the cup itself now. And look at any time Harps plays Bray after 99, we're always looking for revenge, and hopefully the boys will get their revenge now when they play them in the weekend of the 18th of July.
And with that game against Bray, Harps will more than fancy their chances of making it to the last 16, and there's no reason why they can't.
Absolutely not. You know, when you get a particularly a team from your own league and you're at home on a big cup night, and if you get a good crowd behind you and it's a good evening in the middle of July, you know, there's nothing better than those FAI Cup games. And for Harps, it'd be a welcome distraction from the league and, you know, an opportunity for them to build momentum and build confidence again as they head into that last stage of the league season, into that pivotal part of the league when they're looking to gain more points. But again, for me, it's a huge draw for Harps to get, particularly at home. And again, you would fancy your chances against Bray in a home match.
Yeah, so there's a wee bit of a break now, not an action until next Friday when UCD come to Finn Park. What do you think Kevin McHugh and the management team will be focused on now during these couple of weeks? I know you mentioned a bit of a rest, but if you were to pinpoint something that they might be working on in these couple of weeks to get things going in the right direction again, what do you think will be going on in the training pitch these days?
I think knowing Kevin, he'll probably be planning ahead, looking to maybe try and get one or two players in or one or two players out over the window that'll be coming up very, very shortly. You know, that just doesn't happen. That work doesn't happen just when the window opens. There'll be a lot of work going in there. And again, I think just freshening up the team and the players there as well, giving them, they've done a lot of miles and they've been up and down that road a lot to Munster, particularly for them long away journeys. So he'll be just looking to freshen things up and come back in a couple of days' time where there'll be a new energy in the team. And again, no better tie than to get UCD at home, where, you know, the last time UCD were in Balmafay, Harps done really, really well. I think it was probably one of their best performances over the course of the season. And Kevin will be looking for the same result and the same performance from the players in that match against William O'Connor's UCD.
Yeah, so back to the FAI Cup draw during the week. Derry City, they will play Leinster Senior League side Tolka Rovers. Realistically, on paper, a club like Derry City should really be coming through that tie relatively comfortably.
Yeah, you'd be hoping that, you know, that'd be that's kind of in the middle of their European run as well. So I'd imagine that Tiernan Lynch should be looking to rotate his players around and make sure that he's a fresh side in for that, where there'll be a mix of between League of Ireland European matches and FAI Cup. So it'll be a really, really busy period for Derry. And, you know, that's, they couldn't have asked for a better draw than to get a non-league team at home. And, you know, I think in around that time as well, they're due to be back in the Brandywell. So there'll be a real buzz around Derry City at that stage of the season with European matches, possibly moving back into the Brandywell as well. And, you know, the FAI Cup, and should we know the tradition Derry have with the FAI Cup? You know, when you go back through the history over the last number of years, between themselves and Sligo, they've been in nearly every cup final since the 2000s have started. You know, the roll of honours, whether they've been winners or losers, they've been there or thereabouts over the last number of years. So we know how much love Derry and Derry City fans have for the FAI Cup.
But I suppose in saying all that, Derry this season, they haven't really made much look easy. So if you were in the Tolka Rovers camp, you'll be looking at that going, what an opportunity that would be to do something special and knock out one of the big boys. So they'll be well up for that game as well when it comes around.
Absolutely. If you're with Tolka Rovers, you'd be rubbing your hands. You know, you've gone away to Limerick where you've got a really good result in the first round down Tipperary against St. Michael's. Tolka were playing Fairview, so they were playing a local derby. So they've got a really positive result there. So they'll be looking to come to the Brandywell. They have nothing to lose, and I mean nothing to lose, and everything to gain. And, you know, what a story that would be for Tolka Rovers if they were fit to pull off a giant killing act down in Derry.
The pick of all the games in that cup draw might actually be the clash between Shamrock Rovers and Cork City, the two league leaders. Shamrock Rovers top of the Premier, Cork top of the First Division, last year's finalists, of course. So that's going to be a very interesting matchup, Joe.
Yeah, and both teams are going really well at the minute. You know, coming into the window there, they're in top form. Harps, unfortunately, know that the last game they had was down in Cork, and it was a negative result for the Donegal men. But, you know, Cork City will fancy their chances going to Shamrock Rovers. And yet again, Shamrock Rovers will probably be in the throes of European football at that stage as well. So it's a great opportunity for Cork to maybe get a little bit of revenge over Shamrock Rovers after getting defeated in last year's cup final.
Another interesting one, Joe. Sligo Rovers making the trip south to face Limerick outfit Janesborough. A bit like Derry, you would think a Premier Division side should have no issue with the junior team, but the fact that it's away from home does maybe make it a wee bit more tricky for Sligo.
Yeah, we all remember what happened to Sligo when they went down to Kerry last year, where they were in a comfortable position with a couple of minutes to go and ended up getting knocked out of the cup. So again, it's a journey south. You'd be expecting Sligo to have too much in the locker for Janesborough. But look, it's a tricky tie. And at that stage of the year, you'd expect the pitches to be in good nick. But, you know, it's a difficult one. I'm sure John Russell would have much preferred a home draw like the likes of Finn Harps and Derry have got.
Yeah, and a bit more broadly about the FAI Senior Cup, for any team, but especially teams like Harps and Derry, where maybe the league form has been a bit disappointing this season, a cup run into the quarterfinals or the semifinals could really breathe life into a team going down the home stretch in a couple of months' time.
Yeah, and again, you know, do you look at the FAI Cup, or even look at the FA Cup in England or any of those cups, it's a great opportunity for people to win silverware. You know, when you look at the Premier Division, there's not many teams who's going to win the Premier Division when after Shamrock Rovers, and you look at that, this is a great opportunity. And I think that's where Derry and Sligo have been very good over the last number of years, getting to cup finals and getting across the line and getting those results. And for Harps and Sligo and Derry, you know, this may be the main target of getting any form of silver or any form of positivity out of the season at this stage. So it's definitely a night or a weekend that they'd be looking to make sure they have their strongest teams available and to get out there and get a really positive result, because, like, as Kerry showed last year, you could end up very, very quickly in an FAI Cup semi-final.
Before I let you go, Joe, just a word Last night, Johnny Dunleavy, the Balbuffet native, was announced that he's taken over the academy at Waterford. He's won an awful lot in his career, Joe, and I'm sure he'll bring a wealth of experience down to the South Coast.
I think it's a brilliant appointment for Waterford. You know, having worked with Johnny when he was our under 17 captain at the Euros in 2008, Johnny brings not just a wealth of experience, but he's a great understanding of the game and a great understanding of dealing with people. And you know, I think it's a super appointment. I know he's living down in that area at the minute, and you know, Johnny could build relationships with anybody across the clubs, whether it's from junior clubs, intermediate clubs, into senior clubs. And again, you know, his ability to be able to have a good eye for players, and I know he has been doing a bit of scouting and looking out for different teams there where they've been using his expertise down in that part of the country. So you know, I think that's a huge appointment for Waterford, and a really, really positive turn up for the books down in Waterford. And again, when you look at all the players that have come through Waterford over the last number of years, I'm sure Johnny will add to that over the next couple of years, and we'll hopefully see a few more Irish internationals coming through the academy under Johnny in Waterford.
And you think that's a role that maybe more clubs could adopt going forward into the future?
Yeah, I know there's plans in place through the FAI and the government, and there's been money allocated. So, you know, clubs like Fen Harps and Derry will be looking to make appointments. I know Sligo Rovers is a little bit more different because they had Conor O'Grady in place over the last while. But there is an opportunity now for all the League of Ireland clubs to have like an academy manager or academy director in place. And, you know, it's exciting times for those clubs to make sure that they follow the guidelines laid out. And I've been reading through them there recently, and, you know, it's an exciting time for the clubs where they may have the opportunity to have more homegrown players coming through, and that link between the underage teams now, which start quite young, right into the senior team, is very, very exciting for the league.
Great stuff, Joe. Thank you very much for your time as always, and we'll be talking to you again soon, okay?
Thanks, Martin.
There you go. That is Joe Boyle, former Fin Harps captain, of course, looking ahead to the pick of the ties in the FAI Cup round two draw, which has thrown out some very interesting games. Those games all will be played, as Joe said, on the weekend of the 19th of July. Well, Fin Harps' first ever senior women's team have had a very positive start to life in the new National Women's Development League. Desi McGlinchey's side sit eighth in the table and have managed to do well in a number of games so far this season. Head of Women's Development, Paddy McDade, spoke to Chris Ashmore this week and said it's been a mixed bag for the young team, but that there has been a lot of learning done by all involved.
Paddy, sort of midway through the year, a summer break for some, not for others, including yourself. It's a big step, of course, for Harps and the women's team in this new development league. And what's your overall sort of assessment as we're probably sort of halfway through the season? It's certainly a learning experience, and I take it there's many things that you can be encouraged by.
Yeah, absolutely. It's been a mixed bag, and probably what we expected, Chris, from the very start. We knew playing against the new teams that have come in that are probably the same level as ourselves, and some of them haven't had 19s teams, so you can see they've maybe struggled a little bit. We've competed pretty well against those teams in particular. It's when we play against the teams who are Premier League teams that have under 23 teams, and that they're very strong, and they're playing all their senior players, which is a good test for our girls, but there is a bit of a gap. But listen, it's all learning, as you said, and then we're certainly moving in the right direction.
Yeah, and essentially Harps, compared with some of the other sides, you would be certainly on the younger side of things, age-wise.
Yeah, so even though we are a senior women's team, we basically have an under-23 team as well, but it's really like an under-20 team, if you give them in. A lot of young players have come through under-19s. We have a couple of older players like Cody Walsh and Ashley McCall, but they're only in their 21, 22 age bracket, so it's still, you know, relatively young in their football careers. But this is all going to stand to them as we move forward and try and add to it over the next couple of years, Chris.
Yeah. Now, this new development league, two different groups as such. You're in Group A. You've played eight games or so in the league. A couple of wins there, a couple of ones have been harder, as you've mentioned. But overall, you'd be happy enough to be where you are?
Yeah, listen, the manager, Desmond McGinty, has done a great job with the girls, and he's done well. I think that's where we thought we'd be, roughly, when we looked at the start. You know, we knew we'd be probably stronger than some of the teams that just come into this, that hadn't had the benefit of having 19s teams. We put in a good game. The Shelburne first game of the season, getting a 2-2 draw on Tim Park, was an excellent, because they were a really good team as well. Competed well against Galway, I thought, the late goal to make it 2-1 there. So, you know, there's plenty of them under 23 teams that we really competed well with as well, you know. just found some of them are just maybe just they're using it as a reserve team for their seniors, which they're entitled to, but they're just maybe it's that wee bit stronger, you know. So, but listen, it's a development league, it's a learning process for all of us. There's no real conditions in there as to how many players they can play and stuff like that. So maybe that'll come in the second half of the season, or not this year, definitely next year, which will be encouraging because you want everyone to be at a similar level if possible eventually, you know.
And more history will be made on the weekend of Sunday, the 14th of June. You're in the Club Orange Women's FAI Cup for the first time. You're in the preliminary round and you'll be on the road.
Yeah, on the road to Dublin to play Whitehall. They had a good win last weekend against Benfica from Waterford. I think they beat them 6-0. So they're a well-established side and they have a lot of former underage League of Ireland players, stuff like that as well. So they'll be a decent team. They'll be a big test for our girls. But the only problem for the girls probably, they haven't a lot of games recently because of the way the league has been set up and one of the teams was Mayo pulled out. So there's been a lot of free weekends. So, but no, listen, they're going to have them in training this week now and get them back at it. And it's an exciting adventure for the senior women's team because, as you say, it's their first FAI Cup game. It's a big occasion. So we're going to travel down to Dublin and bring numbers with us, hopefully. And hopefully, if we can get through that one, we would have a home draw for the next two games the way it works out. So, but listen, we have to go and try and get a result in Dublin first, which won't be easy.
Yeah, it's a rather interesting scenario. You know where you'll be for if you get through the preliminary round for the first round, and then the second round draw has been made as well. So hopefully it'll all go well in that. With regard to the pitches, Paddy, Astro versus Grass, are you playing on a bit of both?
Yeah, listen, both teams, the women's senior team and the under-17s. I mean, the senior women's team obviously are playing at Finn Park, playing their home game, so that's been excellent. We train in the community centre on a Tuesday and Thursday night, both teams. The 17s this year are playing their home games down in the community centre as well, like, so it's a fantastic facility as well. So you find throughout the league it's a mixture, you know. It's been the weather hasn't been great this year, so it's just good to have Astro sometimes too, because you know the games can go ahead, and that's good to do as well, because they are hard to organise, some of these fixtures, getting refs, getting all those things organised, physios and everything, so it's important that the games go ahead. But it's been good from that perspective. The under-17s have been doing well as well. A lot of those girls have pushed and had a chance with the senior team. In fact, in the cup game on the 14th of June, they're going to have to utilise a lot of them players, because there's some of the senior players away on holiday, etc., because we didn't know the draw or when games were going to be on, so they've made plans. So that's an opportunity for under-17s, and most of them are well able to play with the seniors as well.
In the men's game, many people are aware of how Kevin McHugh has spoken about the development of the academy and that pathway that's there. And the same applies with the women's side of the game at Harps. You know, players coming in, there will be a pathway.
Yeah, absolutely. The pathway has always been there, and I suppose they're just trying to make it better. There is chat next year about maybe extending the league to under 16s and 18s maybe, or maybe 15s and 17s. They're not sure yet. I'm just doing the Gainer Cup here this week as well, and I just watched any show and play Cam on there. They got a good win there in the last minute, and Donegal Women's League are actually in the quarterfinal of the Cup now, so it's the first time in a while they've been at that stage of it, so it's brilliant to see. They've done fantastic this week. They kick off against Galway here now, it's 6:15. So it's exciting to see that the talent is coming through there from Donegal, and that'll all help with hopefully Finn Harps down the line as well, you know. So no, definitely moving in the right direction.
And I know you were encouraged at the beginning of the campaign when you had the sort of first gathering of players and looking at the squad that was going to be there. Within Donegal, there's a very good geographical spread of girls coming through, and long may that continue.
Yeah, when you look at it, you talk about Kevin doing with the academy, like he had a post up a couple of years ago, and where they come from all the different clubs throughout Donegal and the North West region, for that matter. And same as ourselves, like, you know, there's girls coming from all over. And those girls are coming on a Tuesday night, on a Thursday night, and, you know, they're trying to get their homework done, they're trying to get dinner into them. They're juggling a lot. The parents obviously have to take them because they're so young, most of them, and stuff like that there. And they get the carpool, or some do, some don't. So the commitment levels are unbelievable, and the amount of games that they play for Finn Harps as well. Like, so all credit to the girls, but there's a hunger, there's a desire there for them to play at that level. And it is the highest level, and they've done really well. But no, unbelievable. I mean, we have girls from Kelly Beggs, Eador, Karen Dunnah, you know, all over Donegal. Take a lot of pride playing for Finn Harps, and it's great to see that.
Yeah. And long term, Paddy, the aim must be that maybe in the future we will see in the women's Premier Division of the League of Ireland that Donegal could be represented by Finn Harps?
Listen, I have no doubt, Chris, the way things are moving, the way things are going, that is definitely a reality that we can make happen. It's down to the work, hard work of a lot of people and the players at the moment. And there's a lot of other players through Finn Harps and maybe hasn't worked out, or, you know, they could come back as well, or they're scared away playing in different leagues. Maybe they could come back and play for Finn Harps. So I think the future looks bright. We'll certainly keep pushing towards that direction. I certainly wouldn't be shocked to see a Finn Harps team make it into the Premier Division at some stage. And I was actually chatting to two Sheldon players today who are down the Gaynor Cup, and I was telling them, watch out, we're coming to join you soon. So that's the ambition anyway, Chris.
And with the national team getting more and more exposure and people having role models to look at, it all feeds in nicely to the development of the game right down to grassroots level.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, I mean, Donegal have been fortunate over the last number of years where we've had a lot of really good players come in and play in national stage. And you see, like, the Keir Grant there, who's just finished up with the Ireland team, and just a fantastic role model. Amber Barrett, there have been other ones too. Tara Toland, Roman McLaughlin, the two Lochry sisters, you know, there's plenty of talent. Emma Doherty, who's down the goal at the moment, you know, just fantastic players. I probably missed a couple as well there, to be honest. But, you know, we probably had a wee bit of a gap there recently, but we've had Megan McGinley with the under-15s this year. We had Kerry Gavigan in last year. And, you know, there'll be more that Donegal team in the game a couple of moments. Like, some of them girls are definitely going to set an under-15 Ireland team next year and get into that, hopefully. So, you know, it's important that people see that the pathway will get them those opportunities, you know, and that's important as well.
Well, thanks for joining us. Paddy, we'll let you back to your Gaynor Cup duties and enjoying the delights of an Irish summer.
Yes, I think the Donegal weather followed me down here. We've had four seasons in one day here today. But sure, listen, they're all fair play to the girls. They're getting on with it and they're not letting it affect them. So thanks for having me on, Chris. Really appreciate it.
And that was Paddy McDade, head of women's football development at Finn Harps. And he was speaking to me from Limerick during the week where the Gaynor Cup continues. It comes to a conclusion tomorrow. You can follow the progress of sides from the Northwest on the FAI Connect app. Some of the games also on the FAI YouTube channel.
Head of Women's Development at Finn Park, Paddy McDade speaking to our own Chris Ashmore. It's time for a quick break here on the programme. When we come back, Brendan Devaney will run through the round 2A and 2B draws in the All-Ireland Senior Football Championship. Welcome back to the programme. Now the focus is going to shift to Gaelic Games. The round 2A and 2B draws for the All-Ireland Senior Football Championship were made earlier this week with some great matchups to look forward to. To look ahead to next week's games for the Northwest Counties, Oisin Kelly has been speaking with our GAA analyst, Brendan Devaney.
So, Brendan, it's good to catch up. Just before we look ahead to those games for the Northwest sides in the next stage of the All-Ireland Series, we might just quickly step on to this whole Jared Brennan, Jim McGuinness, Jarlath Burns thing that continues to rumble on. I get it, so I do, from a Dublin point of view and from a Jared Brennan point of view. I agree the sanction that he was hit with was too lengthy. But Brendan, it's just going on and on and on. And every time you open up your phone and you see social media, it's about Jared Brennan. It's about what Jarlath Burns says. It's about what Jim McGuinness. Are you getting a bit fed up with it at this stage, are you?
Yeah, because I think Jim's been brought into a situation which is outside of his doing. You know, he's now been attached to a severe penalty, which Jared Brennan should never been handed down, Oisin. So it's rumbling on because, you know, we've got our president talking on it. I mean, he's the most authoritative voice in our whole organisation. Listen, he was asked a direct question. I suppose he tried to answer it best he can. He maybe opened the door a wee bit to possible, you know, FRC not wanting to lose an appeal and all that now is thrown up there. And I think what you're seeing now is in the chairs very hurt by this. I mean, let's be honest, all Ireland won our top GA man, you know, acquitted himself well throughout. It's gone into coaching. So when you weigh everything up, listen, this was a horrible sentence that was handed down to him. I mean, he's on record as saying he's not even allowed to coach his kids' team. You know what I mean? I mean, what are we in the GA for a wee bit of a fracas that's the punishment to him over the 3 months? And then when the gym thing came up and then a lot of people are trying to throw it in. But I think, you know, Jarlath said it right, that in terms of it was dealt with on the pitch differently and let it roll on. Plus, I think there were very different incidents. So I think more than anything, this is probably just about Jair again, the grievance coming up. And of course, then there's a bit of attachment to Jim in it. But I really think most people have moved on from the Jim situation.
Okay, then let's move on to the round two games in the All Ireland Senior Football Championship. What's your what was your initial thoughts when Donegal were handed the home tie against Cork, Brendan?
Yeah, well, after me and you and BK's big trip to Kerry, we were one ball away from the Cork. So that was the first thing I wiped the brow, going, well, at least we're at home. That was a massive jaunt for us and all the Donegal support to head to Cork. So the home tie was a big one, I suppose, in 2A. Everybody wanted to be at home, and it was interesting, I suppose, that ourselves and Tyrone got that home game, which was massive. And of course, everyone in there wants to make the quarter final automatically. So 2A has a very different feel to it, I suppose, than 2B, where, you know, your lives are at stake, your championship season is at stake. And I think Kerry are unbelievably lucky to draw an away to Kildare. And there's no offence to Kildare, obviously relegated. You know, they're basically a Division 3 side now. Derry Meath is certainly an interesting one. Can Cavan put it up this Dublin team? Why not? I mean, Dublin are certainly shaking at the minute. I think Monaghan and Roscommon, probably the tie of the round from what we've seen of Monaghan's heroics in Ulster and what we've seen of Roscommon all season, and particularly in Connacht.
Yeah. What's Cork going to bring to the party at McCool Park in Ballybuffet? Because there was all this talk about particularly their midfield ahead of the Munster final against Kerry, but that midfield didn't really show up, maybe apart from the first 15 minutes or so. So what does Jim McGuinness, do you think, needs to be a bit wary of Cork here? Because Cork at times through the years have been a bit of a bogey team for us, Brendan.
They're a dangerous team. There's no doubt in it. And they're waiting to have a run in the championship, and they need probably a big scalp. And I think probably in hindsight, looking at going into Killarney, I've talked to a couple of Cork people about it. Going in there, it really is. I think that was the sort of, if it was back in Parky Arena, if it was back in Parky Keeve, it was somewhere that they could get the home fans behind them, then it would have been a very different scenario. And I think that was it was going into Killarney. I think probably, even though they tried their best for, you know, maybe 55 odd minutes, Kerry just took control. And it was the way probably Cork petered out. You mentioned the midfield, obviously, Big Maguire, O'Killen picking up a red card against Meath the last day. So, you know, you've got that in the scenario in terms of, this is a very, I suppose, Cork team that if they find a rhythm, they're very dangerous, they're very up and down. So it's a matter just of Donegal dealing with that there and dealing with a very potent forward line as well. You know, that, I mean, they have some top players in there in terms of danger, and no more than Stephen Sherlock the last day hitting 14 points against Meath, you know, 4 2-pointers. So they have those type of players in there as well. If they hit Song, and particularly when they lost they lost O'Killen in that 57th minute, you know, there was only a couple of points in it. So you thought at that stage advantage Meath, but Cork steadied and still come through and won the match. So that'll be giving them a huge injection of life coming up to Donegal.
But you would expect Donegal to come through the tie, Brent. If Donegal play the way they do against, the way they did rather against Kerry the last day, particularly in the first half, and if they have just about everybody available to them, you would expect Donegal to come through this fixture and make a quarter final.
Yeah, well, listen, we had our blip, hopefully, Oisín, and that was it, the down game. And it was very positive the last day. Of course, there was loads of swirling rumours about potential injuries, you know, which wasn't the case. So, you know, the Donegal starting 15 and the squad that we've seen in Kerry look really on it again. So if Donegal are on it and playing to their best, of course, with the McCool Park question mark in there, just about getting back in and, you know, not having played there this season and that, and maybe get a few sessions or what have you. But in terms of Donegal at home in Ballybuffet, That's a tie that nobody else wanted. Nobody would want to come to Ballybuffet to play Donegal. So we've got to use that, got to use the massive home support as well. And I think, you know, when you look at it then, the trajectory straight into a quarter-final, it's such a massive carrot. Obviously, to avoid any pre-quarter-final banana skin, again, get into the quarter-finals, then you're into the big stuff. You're, you know, heading towards Croke Park and those big days that we've revelled in, particularly last season.
Let's look at the other games involving the Northwest sides, Brendan. Obviously, in 2A as well, the winners section. Tyrone are taking on Meath, and as you said at the outset, having home advantage is huge for Tyrone. But the way Mayo played in parts against that Monaghan side last week will give them a lot of hope going into the game. But Tyrone will know as well that this is a Monaghan team that can be got at, so they can.
Definitely, and you've probably seen what Monaghan probably created about 10 goal chances. I mean, the Mayo defence was wide open. You're going to do this against Tyrone, you're going to get punished. Now, obviously, you know, Andy Moore and his backroom team will be working hard on that to try and prevent that happening, you know, and that's the job for them. You know, Ryan O'Donoghue, Kobe flying up front, but maybe very reliant on them for their out-and-out scores. But certainly, the way Tyrone played down in Roscommon, and even, you know, missing Dara Canavan, the way their inside line started to really step up with Ethan Jordan and Michael Holman, and you start to see, I suppose, these young players maybe taking control and getting grips on the game. You know, certainly the form of Kilpatrick as well, and then the experience of McKiernan, you know, starting to really drive the team, Matty Donnelly. So, listen, Tyrone are a dangerous team in this. They've had obviously a poor league. You know, they put it up to Armagh and Ulster, so a lot of people weren't looking at them much in the championship. And of course, they were in All-Ireland semi last year, this same squad, really. So, you know, I think really for Mayo, again, going away to a battle-hardened Tyrone side, it's not a game that they would have wanted. And the fact that Tyrone are at home, they need a big one, I think, to really start to galvanise the crowd and get that kind of Tyrone drive going behind them. And if they win, they're a team not a lot of people fancy playing in the quarter.
Just one other note on Derry taking on Meath. Last chance saloon for both of these teams. They are in division, the round 2B. So whoever loses is out of the championship. Again, Derry at home, which is a huge advantage to them. But they'll need to dig deep, so they will here. They'll need an improved performance against the Royal County. And Kieran Mina's going to have to go to the well along with his players here to get something to get them over this one.
Yeah, honestly, it was always very, very difficult, obviously, going away to Armagh, particularly after the shocking way that Monaghan took them. You know, there's ways you lose this game. There's ways you lose games which won't knock you back too much. But you're involved in such excitement and unbelievable moments that we talked about years, but they're all against you. They're with the other team. That sets you back so far, particularly when you're in complete control of a game. You know, you're 10, 11 points up and you're really in the box seat. To lose that, again, throws up some of the ghosts of the last couple of years under, particularly under Paddy Talley last year and the previous year under Hart, where things started to go wrong. So I think that Mina and his background team have been building up this side. They had some decent performances in the league, didn't get to where they wanted to go. So now you're in the championship, you thought they might have made those to final. They didn't do that. And going, that was a really tough draw on them away to Armagh, because Armagh are absolutely flying at the minute. So listen, they contested in periods for the game, but it just looked like Armagh had that wee bit of extra depth and wee bit of know-how how to win the game. Now, Meath obviously seriously bitten by that Cork defeat as well. I mean, they've had some serious Cork. They've went down to Cork and lost twice now this season. They obviously beat them in the league final. So it's do or die now. We haven't seen the best of Meath in terms of their championship pedigree that we would have seen last season, in terms of really when they went after Galway's and the Kerry's and the Dublin's in this world. We haven't seen that from Meath this year, and maybe that'll be enough for this Derry squad to hold their own and use the brilliance inside. You know, your Lachlan Murray's, McGuigan's, you know, Niall Murray, these players, Glass in his new role has been doing well in terms of sitting and carrying ball. You know, they have a lot of ball players all around the pitch, and I think, you know, they probably, the fact that they are at home, you'd have to give them that wee bit of an advantage to make that pre-quarterfinal.
Yeah. Listen, there's TV coverage, Brendan, of course, of the Derry game and of the Tyrone game. None for Donegal. That match against Cork. You will, of course, be able to listen to all the action here in Highland. We'll have an extensive build-up, full live match commentary and reaction to come on that Saturday, the 13th of June. There's lots of other games as well in the second round, Brendan. You'll be digging into them this coming Monday night on the DL debate just after the 7 o'clock news. But we're going to have to leave it there. As always, Brendan, thanks for talking to us. We'll catch up again soon.
That is Brendan Devaney in conversation with Oisin Kelly. Well, it's a big weekend for the Donegal minor footballers as well. Carol Lacey's side are in All-Ireland Tier 2 semi-final action on Saturday. 2 o'clock is the throw-in time for their last four clash with Down at Scotstoun GA in Monaghan. We'll have updates on Saturday afternoon with Ryan Ferry of the Donegal News. The winners of that game will face the winners of Monaghan versus Louth in the Paul McGuire Cup final. The Donegal Masters are back out this Saturday. They play neighbours Tyrone. That is in round 3 of the competition and it gets underway at 2 o'clock in Killigordon. The Leinster hurling final is on this Saturday as well. Dublin and Galway go head to head at Croke Park. That one gets underway from 6 o'clock and the curtain raiser for that game is the Joe McDonagh Cup final between Carlow and Laois, which throws in at 3:45. The Munster hurling final is on Sunday afternoon. Cork face Limerick at 2 o'clock down at Park E. Keeve. In football, there are a number of Talton Cup games on Saturday, most notably, from a Donegal point of view anyway, Declan Boners for Manna host New York at Brewster Park. That's in a prelim quarter-final, while Sligo, with Eamon McGee part of that management team, are at Ruislip to take on London, and that is in a round 3 fixture. Locally, there's a full round of fixtures across all divisions of the Donegal All-County Leagues this weekend. Division 1 fixtures on Saturday sees Glenfinn host Gidor. Éire Ballyshannon travel to play Kilcare. Dunlow are at home to Glenswilly, and Neave Connell go to the Bridge to face St Michael's. On Sunday, bottom side Neave Warra Lower Rosses are at home to Four Masters, and top of the table St Dunans make the short trip out to the Burn Road to play Termin. To athletics, Mark English will compete in the 800 metre event at the Diamond League meet in Rome at about 8:15 this evening. The Finn Valley athlete comes into tonight's meet after claiming an impressive win in Shanghai's Diamond League outing in the middle of May. A bit earlier, I spoke with our athletics correspondent Patsy McGonigal to preview the race. So, Patsy, Mark English, he's back in action shortly at this Diamond League meet in Rome. He'll head into this one off the back of that brilliant one in Shanghai, Patsy.
Yes, he will, and he did run, of course, in Rabat, over the weekend, and didn't have a good run, but he pretty much let it go when he seen he wasn't going to make an impact. But tonight at Rome, this is a big Diamond League meet, and serious field once again, as indeed are all the Diamond League meets. You know, they're all world class races and quality and so on. So, yes, action tonight in Rome, and that's a real iconic track and set up. So that's exciting.
It was a brilliant race back in Shanghai when he won that race. In comparison to that race tonight, what kind of field is Mark going to be facing in Rome compared to Shanghai, do you think?
Well, pretty much the same. It's Brazier runs this time. He's a world medalist. So I mean, he didn't run in Shanghai. So look, we'll have to wait and see. But I mean, now they're all top class athletes and world class athletes. So as I say, just to reiterate, really, that Diamond League meets are our top stuff. Now it's interesting to note that Mark's victory in the Diamond League in China, he's the only Irishman ever to win a Diamond League meet. So that gives you an indication of the quality of the race. You know, no other Irish athlete has ever won a Diamond League meet. So that was something special as well.
And Mark's done really well, with a couple of wins in the Diamond League. He's now built himself to a stage where he's going to be a genuine contender every time he steps on the track in a Diamond League meet. And that win in Shanghai will only give him more confidence to go and do that in every race he goes into.
Absolutely. And, that race, as I say, in China, really just indicated really that his experience, when you watch back at the race and 20, 30 metres out, you wouldn't have given a tuppence for him getting that victory. But, he just experienced, kept working at it, worked through the bodies, really, and got through like the eye of a needle, really, to get there. So, great confidence booster for him in that race, and indeed a record on the night, a track record, so that was valuable as well.
So what's a realistic expectation for the race this evening? I suppose another strong performance would tell us a lot ahead of the World Championships coming up, so that'll be what he's aiming for, another strong outing.
He would need see, these races are all that quality, and this year his big target is the European Championships in Birmingham. So all this these quality races are setting them up for another possible a shot at a medal at a major championships, namely the European Championships on this occasion this season. So that's it. And of course, towards the end of the season in Budapest, the ultimate world championships are on, where the top ranked athletes in the world are invited. So he's ranked fourth at the moment in the 800 metres in the world. So in that journey towards the ultimate championships in Budapest towards the end of the season. So he's right up there.
Christoph Patsy, we'll have a look at some other athletes. We'll go back to last night, actually. Summer Leckie and Arlene Crossan, two Finn Valley athletes. They were both in action last night at the World Athletics Continental Challenge Tour in Grenada. Leckie in the high jump, Crossan in the 400 metres. How did that go for those two local athletes?
Well, it was the opening season meet for Summer. She cleared 179, which is encouraging enough, you know. Obviously, she would like to go 180 plus. She had a go at 182. Didn't happen for her there, but she's on the road and she's there and she's chasing a good competition. So that's a big positive indicator. Now, so I would say she'd be reasonably happy with last night. 179 is as good as any Irish athlete has done this season. And as I say, it's a season opener, and it gives her a bit of a pep up now to move on. Arlene, of course, she was in the 400 metres. She did a PB, 53.11. That's her fastest lifetime best ever. So she's in good shape. Now, I would imagine she'd be looking for faster. She needs to run faster. She knows this. Her coach, Shauna Carolyn, know this, but she would need to try and hope to get down there with 52-odd. So, but she will. And, 53.11, a personal best. So that's a good performance as well.
And just finally, Patsy, another local athlete in action tonight, Roisin Flanagan. She's in action in the USA, is that right?
She is indeed. She's in St. Louis tonight in the Hoka Festival of Miles. It's a meet with all miles, you know, for young athletes and international athletes and so on. So she's there, and then she's on the road again. Then after tonight, she's on the way up to Boston for 1500 metres. So she's hoping to come home then to run the Ulster Senior Championships in a couple of weeks' time. So hoping to make the Commonwealth Games. So let's see what happens. But tonight it's all about a mile. You know, she's got a PB for a mile of about 4:40. So we'll keep a wee eye on that tonight.
Good stuff, Patsy. We'll all be keeping a wee eye on it, and hopefully you'll be back with some more good news for us from the world of local athletics. All right, thanks for joining us.
That's great. Thanks, Mark. Thank you.
Our athletics correspondent, Patsy McGonigal, and Mark is on track very shortly in Rome. 8:15 is the start time for that 800 metres event. So let's have a look at what else is happening in local sport this weekend before we finish up for the night. On the rallying front, Michael Boyle, Aaron McLaughlin and Adam Doherty are the top Donegal drivers taking part in the Tyrone Stages Rally that is based out of Cookstown this coming Saturday. And in cricket, Strabane and St Johnstone play each other in the Northwest Premier League, among other games, and Letterkenny play Bonds Glen. Both those games are on Saturday. On Sunday, there are refix games in the Northwest Senior Cup with St Johnstone in action against Eglinton. That's just about it for this episode of The Score. If you missed any of the show, as always, you can listen back to it over on our website at highlandradio.com or over on the Radio Player app. I have been your host, Mark Gallagher. Thank you very much, as always, for listening in. Jimmy Stafford is up next just after the 8 o'clock news, so stay tuned for that. Have a great evening, enjoy the sport at the weekend, and I'll be talking to you all again very soon. Take care.